Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tavasanam Dvija Gavam Parameshkyam Jagat Ate Bhavaya Shreyase Bhutyai Shemaya Vijayaya Cha Tavasanam Dvijaga Tavasanam Dvijagavam Parameshtyam Jagatpate Bhavaya Shreyase Bhutyai Shemaya Vijayaya Cha Tavasanam Dvijagavam Parameshtyam Jagatpate Bhavaya Shreyase Bhutyai Shemaya Vijayaya Cha Tava, your asanam, position on the throne, dvija, of the Brahminical culture, or of the Brahmanas, gavam, of the cows, parameshtyam, supreme, jagatpate, a master of the whole universe, Havaya, for improvement. Shreyase, for the ultimate happiness. Bhutyai, for increasing the opulence. Shemaya, for the maintenance and good fortune. Vijayaya, for the victory and increasing prestige. Cha and. Translation. O Lord Brahma, your position within this universe is certainly most auspicious for everyone, especially the cows and brahmanas. Brahminical culture and the protection of cows can be increasingly glorified, and thus all kinds of material happiness, opulence, and good fortune will automatically increase. But, unfortunately, if Hiranyakashipu occupies your seat, everything will be lost. Purport. In this verse, the words Dvijagavam, Parameshtyam, indicate the most exalted position of the Brahmanas, Brahminical culture, and the cows. In Vedic culture, the welfare of the cows and the welfare of the Brahmanas are essential. Without a proper arrangement for developing Brahminical culture and protecting cows, all the affairs of administration will go to hell. Being afraid that Hiranyakashipu would occupy the post of Brahma, all the demigods were extremely disturbed. Hiranyakashipu was a well-known demon, and the demigods knew that if demons and rakshasas were to occupy the supreme post, Brahminical culture and protection of cows would come to an end. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 5.29, the original proprietor of everything is Lord Krishna, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. The Lord, therefore, knows particularly well how to develop the material condition of the living entities within this material world. In every universe, there is one Brahma engaged on behalf of Lord Krishna. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye. The principal creator in each Brahmanda is Lord Brahma, who imparts Vedic knowledge to his disciples and sons. On every planet, the king or supreme controller must be a representative of Brahma. Therefore, if a rakshasa or a demon were situated in Brahma's post, then the entire arrangement of the universe, especially the protection of the Brahminical culture and cows, would be ruined. All the demigods anticipated this danger, and therefore they went to request Lord Brahma to take immediate steps to thwart Hiranyakashipu's plan. In the beginning of creation, Lord Brahma was attacked by two demons, Maru and Kaitava, but Krishna saved him. Therefore, Krishna is addressed as Maru Kaitava Hantri. Now again, Hiranyakashipu was trying to replace Brahma. The material world is so situated that even the position of Lord Brahma, not to speak of ordinary living entities, is sometimes in danger. Nevertheless, until the time of Hiranyakashipu, no one had tried to replace Lord Brahma. Hiranyakashipu, however, was such a great demon that he maintained this ambition. The word bhutyai means for increasing opulence, and the word shreyase refers to ultimately returning home back to Godhead. In spiritual advancement, one's material position improves at the same time that the path of liberation becomes clear, and one is free of material bondage. One is situated in an opulent position in spiritual advancement. His opulence never decreases. Therefore, such a spiritual benediction is called bhuti or vibhuti. Krishna confirms this in Bhagavad Gita 10.41. Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam mama tejom sha sambhavam. If a devotee advances in spiritual consciousness and thus becomes materially opulent also, his position is a special gift from the Lord. Such opulence is never to be considered material. At the present, especially on this planet Earth, the influence of Lord Brahma has decreased considerably, and the representatives of Hiranyakashipu, the Rakshasas and demons, have taken charge. Therefore, there is no protection of Brahminical culture and cows, which are the basic prerequisites for all kinds of good fortune. This age is very dangerous because society is being managed by demons and rakshasas. So here the positions being brought out about the importance of this Brahminical culture. So that means is that there's a culture on trying to understand what is transcendental, what is Brahman. Otherwise, then the living entities like Hiranyakashipu, they simply figure out how to enjoy, how they'll be happy. And at the same time, as you see, his position is not such that everyone will be happy. It's about everyone will suffer. Right? So it's not even just, okay, he's trying to open up the heavenly planets to everyone, everybody can move around as they please. No, it's that even the people on the heavenly planets, having done all their austerities, they'll still suffer. So we see is this element of mode of ignorance then being destructive will not actually make things nice. But somehow or another, the demoniac mentality, it very much appreciates this. I should whimsically be able to do whatever I want, and everybody else will suffer, right? So then, that's called happiness, right? If others aren't happy, then I must be happy. Like, if I can point out that they're unhappy, that puts me in a better position, so I must be happy. Right? So it's not actually a very positive mentality. That's why we say it's generated from the mode of ignorance. So here then, the Brahminical culture, because it's based on following what is given by the Lord, what's the directions of the Lord, that then is what we're aspiring for in the way of a social structure, because that way then we're doing things in connection to the Lord. That's the whole point of it. But unfortunately, then the demoniac mentality, it doesn't like this. It wants to do whatever it wants, however it wants. So we have to be very careful to not be distracted by such mentality, because it's contemporary and it's modern and it's up to date. But all it is the latest demoniac flavor. It's not that, it's actually a valuable flavor. You know, it's just like, let's say, okay, in the heroin community, they've all decided to use number 26 size needles because they're smaller and they don't make such a big hole. And so that's the latest rage. So do we take it up? No, because it's useless. You know what I'm saying? We don't take it up because it's useless. So we have to understand that anything that's not connected to Krishna is useless. That's simple. There's nothing in the material world that has its own position separate from Krishna, because it's all Krishna. When we say Brahminical culture means seeing everything as Brahman, means seeing everything as Krishna. So if we see something separate from Krishna, and this is valuable on its own, whether you're Krishna conscious or not, that's also illusion. And it's just a nicer form of Hiranyakashipu. But it's still the same principle. So this whole concept that what I like is what's important, rather than what does Krishna like, that's important. This is where the problem comes in. So instead of being self-realized, we're self-centered. Right? At least we got, you know, one word out of the phrase correct, right? We got the self part there, right? So now all we have to do is bring it to the point of realization of who we are. Then we can actually deal with the self. Otherwise, then we're not actually dealing with the self. Because what we call self is not the self. That's the problem. That we're aware of ourselves, that's not the problem. That we think that the awareness that we have, being on the body and mind, and we think that's us, that's the problem. Right? That we have a body and we have a mind, that's also not the problem. That we have a body and mind and don't see it in connection to the Lord, that's the problem. So we have to be able to discern what the real problem is. So the real problem is not seeing things connected to Krishna, which everything is. That's why it's a pastime. Hiranyakashipu too is making his attempt to take over the universe, but he can't. Right? Because it's Krishna's creation. But he has more determination than the demigods. The demigods are coming to Brahma. They're worried about the creation. There's two points. One is that it is the proper way, that it runs according to God's laws. So that concern of the demigods, that's good. That'll make them more God conscious. The other part of the equation is that they're worried about their own position. So if Hiranyakashipu takes over, they're not going to be as happy. Right? So they're looking for their own security. So they've turned to Krishna for it. That makes them pious. And Hiranyakashipu has turned to his own endeavors and determination. That makes him impious. So in that way it's better, but it's not pure devotion. But the principle that following the Lord's laws, that's pure devotion. That's proper. I mean, someone in pure devotion, that's why it's pure, because they just serve Krishna. And for someone else, it's impure because they're not interested in serving Krishna. So that's the whole point. It's not about the activity. He's doing austerities. Others do austerities, they're glorified. He's doing austerity, it's not. You understand? So this is what we have to get used to. It's not what you're doing. It's why you're doing it. That doesn't mean now I can whimsically do anything. Because the point is I can say, I can do whatever. Oh, if it's not about what you're doing, I can do anything. But then why are you doing anything? So again, it comes back to the same point. It's like that. You follow the rules, but it's not about the rules, it's devotion. Oh, so we don't have to follow the rules. So then, but what's your motive for not following the rules? Is it devotion? You understand? So the whole point is then we have to be able to see it from Krishna's perspective, which is, this is the culture he likes to practice, and he being the complete creation, when we bring our interests in line with his, then there's community. And on that basis of community, then you have a relationship with the Lord and the devotees. But without that, then where's the community? We're dependent upon the Lord, but in reality, actually having that position where we're happy won't come about. Because there is only the Lord. When the Vedic literatures, every verse has to start with Omkara. Because that's all there is. There is only the Lord, His energy, and the Jivas. There isn't anything else. In illusion, we think there's something else. But all there is the Lord, His energy, and the living entities. The living entities see a relationship with the Lord, then they see the spiritual. They don't see, they see the material. But the Lord's the same, the Jivas are the same, His energy just transforms from spiritual to material, or from material to spiritual. So that's why every Vedic verse must start with Om, because that's all there is. So when we start seeing like that, then things go well. But if we think that there's part of our life that's not connected to Krishna, that's illusion. And illusion never makes one happy. You may think you're happy. You know, it's like the two drunk guys walking down the road. They think they're happy, but if you watch them, they can't walk, they keep falling over. It's freezing cold out, and they don't even have a shirt on, and they don't even know they don't have a shirt on. Right? So this is the problem. In illusion, they think they're happy, but in reality, they're not. So that's the whole point, is we may think we're happy, but until it's connected to Krishna, we can't actually be happy. Because being part and parcel of Krishna, we can't be happy without the whole. Like that. So, here is that the idea that one is going to make oneself happy by one's own endeavor is not going to work. And the principle is that it starts with the Brahminical culture and the cows. That's what has to be prominent. Right? So we see we start above the modern concept. Modern concepts begins down on the, basically, the corporate level. Kshatriyas don't even really count in people's consideration. Management, yes, but we have to remember management just means, successfully transforming or manipulating the material energy in the direction you want it to go. That doesn't make Kshatriyas. Like that? Does that make sense? So people manipulate the material energy for profit. That's business. Kshatriyas manipulate the material energy to create peace and prosperity, and the citizens are protected. It's quite different. Manipulation is the same, but the intent behind it and the result gained are totally different. Right? The Kshatriya is supposed to see that everybody is engaged. The Vaishya simply sees that those who make profit are engaged and everybody else is fired. Right? In fact, they made a show out of some guy just firing people and everybody loves it. Yes, yes. Yeah. Does that make sense? So, Brahminical culture is like two stages above that. That's why it becomes hard to understand. So when Brahminical culture, the practice of Brahmins, studying, teaching, patana, patana, yajana, yajana, dana, pratigaha, these are the prominent elements. And then to do all those, you need the cows. Right? Because cows provide milk. That's then used in yajna. It's offered to the deities. It's used in the sacrifice. then we have actual human society. Then to do that on a grand scale, you need kshatriyas to organize it. Right? You need vaishyas to create the economics for it. You need shudras to get the work done. Right? But if it doesn't start with brahminical, what's the meaning of kshatriyas, vaishyas, and shudras? There aren't any. There is no meaning at all. Right? Unless, of course, you prefer the line of Hiranyakashipu, then I'm sure he can find a spot for you. Right? But in reality, this whole point is that this is the all good fortune comes from brahminical culture and protecting the cows. If one doesn't have that, there is no good fortune. So nowadays it's very popular to run success seminars. But if those seminars aren't based on brahminical culture, no one will be successful. And you can say that, 100%. It doesn't matter how the corporate brain doesn't understand it, we're not worried about that. Because the point is how the corporate brain will understand brahminical, which is two stages of consciousness above it. You understand? So the reason people nowadays don't understand it, because their consciousness is too low. Right? So what we're trying to do is match that our consciousness on this social platform is the same as our consciousness on the devotional platform. Because devotionally, devotees will accept Krishna is the supreme, it's all about Krishna. But socially, do they accept? That's where the difference is. That's the anartha. Anartha means there's a difference between your spiritual determination and your material attachment. So material attachment has not been dovetailed in the Lord's service yet. So we have to be very careful to see these things. And if we don't, then the reaction will be there. It's not that, well, I don't think it'll be there, it won't be there. That's the way children think. Children think like that. I want it to be like that. They're so surprised. They take the ball, they want to play, they throw it up in the air. They don't throw it forward, and it bounces off their head, and they get upset. Who bounced it off their head? Themselves. But it's not supposed to happen. Why? Because they think it shouldn't happen. Nice. But now are they following the process that won't make it happen? So that's the thing. We want to be happy. We want to be prosperous. Great. Nice ideal. But what's the process? You have to follow the Vedic version. It's God's country. It's God's laws. Right? That's the whole point. So that's the point, was it? I say, no country for un-Krishna conscious old men. Right? So that's the position. So if we see it like this, Prabhupada mentions this for a reason, because this is how it works. There is not another way it works. We can come up with all kinds of ideas. People sit in rooms and come up with newer and newer ideas every day. But that doesn't change how it works. That's the thing. So when we accept Krishna's plan, then it works nicely. Then we're like the devatas who want to protect Krishna's system. Otherwise, then there's plenty of scope for Hiranyakashipu and his cronies who oppose the Vedic version. Like that. So what's being recommended here in Bhagavatam is we follow. It's not about the laws. It's not, in the beginning we follow because he's God. That's the principle. But the real reason for following is because it pleases Krishna. This is how Krishna does it. We can follow the laws because, yes, Krishna's God, and if I don't follow the laws, I get in trouble. But then it's not fully about Krishna as a person. Fully about Krishna as a person is, I follow these because Krishna gave these laws, he follows them themselves. This is the way he likes it. And if I say, oh, we're Westerners, we're this, we're that, it's Kali Yuga, it's 2000, whatever, we come up with unlimited excuses. Where does either God as a person or God as God come into it? Even as Brahman doesn't come into it. So all that we're left with is our whim. So we want to take our whim as the supreme. Great, but then the problem is there's 7 billion whims on this planet. Then we got the animals. So that's not going to make for community. Community comes from, it's Krishna. Krishna's desire. We make that as the common element, then we follow the directions given by him, then there's community. Then there's prosperity. Otherwise, as we see, individuals may do well, but as a group, then it can only be done together, serving Krishna. Okay. Is there any questions or comments? Yes. It's a little...
Thank you, Maharaj. Human society begins with Dharma, but at the same time it also begins with Brahminical culture, so that would indicate the level up of self-realization.
Yes, it means those who follow Dharma for the understanding that it's about elevating yourself to the transcendental position. That's Brahminical culture. Because we don't really... means you can count the Brahmins who are practicing the Karmakanda aspects as Brahmins. They're proper by their lifestyle. Their consciousness, though, is not high enough. So Brahminical means that we understand that we're not the body, we're the soul, and it's about the position of the soul, not about we're not the body, we're the soul, so I can get rid of this body, it's not so great, and get a better one, and enjoy more. But they're able to get it because of the Brahminical culture. But they're just using it on its lowest level, right, for karma. Well, on the next higher level, they'll use it for moksha. But the actual only permanent position is to use it for bhakti. So in other words, the Daiva Varnashram is basically your entry state of human life. And if you're working on economics or sense gratification, then that's below human life. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you have techniques of organizing things, but then you have the mentality. So the mentality is actually the most important thing. If the mentality is not right, the techniques won't work. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Something else? Yes. In the back there. You get this. I think you have to turn it off. I think it has to be turned on. The mic needs to be turned on.
Rebel?
Yes, very good.
So, in the Shastras it speaks about Dharma, Artha, Karma and Moksha.
Right.
So Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada gives us the example of the founding fathers, how they went to America and they were very religious, and then from then the religiosity came to economic development and so forth and so on. So obviously now we are in the sense gratification stage in a big way.
So
the fourth stage is moksha. So at this stage, when you look around you, see all the sense gratification being rampant, how would it be possible for that fourth stage of moksha to come in any other way but Krishna consciousness? Is it sort of...
Means moksha means you're interested in being liberated or saved from the particular difficult situation you're in. So plenty of people have that mentality. But as you pointed out, that without Krishna consciousness, you can't make a permanent solution. Because the problem with moksha is as soon as the difficulty is over, then we forget about the moksha. Only in devotional service, when the difficulty is over, then we can remember Krishna and maintain that transcendental position. So that's why it's saying the materialist will move through these four stages. Because it's like, I say, in the intellectual circles, you see, you know, many people dabble in Buddhism or in impersonalism, that's moksha. Because they see the material world isn't actually offering anything. So, you know, it's just a flavor, right? If you follow the Vedic system, then you'll see a more greater determination and focus. It'll match the lifestyle. But in a non-Vedic, they'll just play with it according to the position. You know what I'm saying? So they'll get something from it, something not. So it's non-scientific. You can either scientifically move through the four or unscientifically move through the four. But devotional service, then that's the real solution. And if you follow it scientifically, then it works very smoothly. Is that okay? Yeah, okay. Right. So something else? Yes. You need that microphone. Just run.
Hare Krishna. This you were mentioning Brahmanas transcending to the platform of transcendental platform. So what about the Shudras, Vaishyas and Kshatriyas? Because what I understand is that if they get into devotional service, they can transcend even the Brahminical culture and go to the transcendental platform.
Right.
So how do we understand that they can also go like that? How is it possible for them? Because coming to Brahman platform itself is so difficult. So from a Shudra platform, coming to Brahmana...
Okay. Yes. Means because culture in the Vedic system, there's only one culture, it's Brahminical. There's four occupations, but there's only one culture. This is, we make a mistake. We think that there's Kshatriya culture, Vaishya culture, Shudra culture. No, there's Brahminical culture. Those within Brahminical culture may have one of four occupations. You understand? So, what is Shudra or Vaishya or Kshatriya? But you're actually supposed to think like a Brahmin. Right? But the skill, then you will act according to the skill of that particular occupation. You understand? Because the Brahminical, it's all coming from Shastra, that comes from Krishna, so it's all about Krishna. So if the Kshatriya sees everything connection to Krishna, the Vaishya connected to Krishna, the Shudra connected to Krishna, then it's all Brahminical culture. But it doesn't change the position they're in. They're two different things. We have to be able to use our intelligence and distinguish. We can't get caught up on words. That's the general principles. We like, even though no one likes grammar, we love semantics. Right? We love arguing over a word. But in reality, you know, the point is that it's about having our intelligence and being able to discern between the meanings that are given by the acharyas. Does that make sense? So therefore, Brahminical culture is there from anybody that functions within it. But occupations are a different thing altogether. Occupation is how you make your money. Right? So in other words, the person does the skill of the occupation. That's important. You don't do the skill, there is no profit, there is no results. Right? But now, which skill should be done that will make profit, that you need Vaishyas to say. Otherwise, people have skills, but do they know how to make money? No, Vaishyas know how to make money. But money not being the topmost thing, you also have to have the culture and that intact. Therefore, you have Kshatriyas that therefore control the Vaishyas so that they don't just do anything that makes profit. You understand? And then, because you're controlling things and seeing that, you know, the occupations and the varna and ashram are going on properly, but then the point is if that's not connected to the Lord and seen in relationship to the scriptures, not just practical management. In other words, oh, it's practical, Prabhu. Okay, great. How does Shastra support that so-called practicalness? Because why does somebody say it's practical? Because it's upsetting somebody else. You understand? So, now, is it actually practical? Now, if it's according to Shastra, and the person doesn't like that, and they're getting upset, there's nothing you can do. But if it's not according to Shastra, it's just quote-unquote practical, and it's disturbing the devotees, then it's not actually practical, because the whole point is the devotees cooperate together to serve Krishna, not that you are transforming material energy the way you like to, and that's called devotional service. So to be able to distinguish that, so therefore the Brahmins are necessary. That's why there's a hierarchy in occupation. But as far as ashram goes, everybody's Brahminical. Only the Brahmins follow four ashrams. You understand? So someone who follows Brahminical culture goes through all four ashrams, or can. You understand? Those who aren't into that, they don't. Right? In the modern society, how many people are brahmacharis? Right? So people are always grihasthas. They're just bachelors, then they get married, then they get divorced, then they get married, then they get divorced, then they get married, and then they die. You understand? So it's not scientific. They're not following nicely. So the point is it's all about Krishna. So there's no contradiction. See, on the spiritual platform, seeming contradictions are resolved because they're Krishna. On the material platform, they can't be resolved because there's ignorance. So we always have to see is that we're looking at how to resolve the contradiction in Krishna, rather than it's contradictory, therefore throw it out. That's the mode of ignorance. That's what Rupa Goswami talks about, niyamagraha. You don't understand it, you throw it out, because you think you're the smartest person in the world. If you don't understand it, it's not practical, you throw it out. So we're trying to avoid that. Does that make sense? Does that work? Okay, very good. Very good. Something here?
Hare Krishna Maharaj Ji. Maharaj Ji, in the Dwapara Yuga, when Lord Krishna was there, the Dharma was the deity worship. So my question is like, how the Pandavas were executing their devotional service?
How were the Pandavas engaged in devotional service in the Dwapara Yuga? They were doing their activities to please Krishna. That's devotional service means engaging your senses for the pleasure of the Lord. So it doesn't matter which system you're following, that's what you're doing. Right? To do yoga, you need senses, but you're engaging him in the Lord's service. To do yajna, you need senses, you're engaging in the Lord's service. To do deity worship, you need senses, you're engaging in the Lord's service. Samkirtan means you're taking your senses, engaging in the Lord's service. So that's what's going on. Does that make sense? You just have to remember, their deity is walking around and talking to them, so... Okay? Yeah? Something else? Yes. It goes towards the back.
Maharaj.
It's on, I think.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, from the occupational point of view,
okay.
Bhagavad Gita 3.35 is slightly bewildering. If I am skilled in one occupation, then that is my occupation.
That is my occupation.
So how can we say that Shayan Sodhapam Vigunaha Paradharma Sunishtada? If I am good in one occupation, how can I be better in other occupation?
The point is guna and karma means the skill, guna means your character and mentality. So somebody can have a skill in another activity, but they don't necessarily have the guna, the character. So the problem comes up is that they can perform the other skill, but because they don't have the mentality to match it, therefore it's disturbance. That's why Krishna says better to do your own duty, which means the skill that you have the mentality for, and not be as good at it as doing someone else's. Because skill, if I see that I can get profit from something else, then I may do it. Just like in Calcutta, if you have a law firm and it belongs to Kotari, who is Kotari? Are they Brahmins? They're Vaishyas. So he saw, I can make more money off of law than sitting in Bada Bazaar selling nuts and bolts. That's all. But then the mentality, it's about money. It's not about law. It's just you can make money off it, just like a hospital. They make money off of it. It's not about, and then they work with other people who have insurance, which is all about money. But it's all being projected as, oh no, it's for everyone's benefit, and we're just trying to do that, you know, get well sooner, and all these kind of things, But in reality, it's just money. So that's the meaning of what Krishna says, is better to do your own job. Better to sit in Bada Bazaar and have a smaller shop than be doing a brahminical thing and making tons of money. I know one Vaishya, one devotee, his brother, businessman, he ran a school in Delhi. And now I'm talking 1980s prices, okay? So you can imagine you take that about five times now. In that time, to get into the school, you had to pay 2 lakhs under the table to get in, because there were millions of kids who wanted to get into the school, and we're talking Delhi, so that's actually literal. And then there's limited places, right? So 2 million to get into the school. Then there was 10,000 a month fees. They had, of course, the best teachers, best facilities, best everything. Kids got best marks. But they were, it was just the best for business. Because if it's the best, then people with money will send their kids. So you can imagine, in that school, I think it had, I can't remember, it was, I think it had 2,000 students. So you, how much money is there? Huge amount of money. But now is that what you're supposed to be doing? Now as far as skill goes, they were learning the skill nicely. But as far as guna, are they learning any character? No. So is that what it's supposed to be? Teachers are supposed to teach the skill and the character. Right? Look at, let's say, old skill. Old world, right? A guild. You understand guild? Guild. It's kind of like a group of people in the same area. Okay, let's take, okay, then, okay. Traditionally, the Vaishya has a son. He's gone to school and all that, but now he has to learn business, right? So he goes and studies under either a good friend or a relative, right? What does he first do in the shop? Clean, set up, carry things around and that, right? Does he put him behind the seat and make him the big man? No. Why? Because he has to learn the mentality. Yeah, you know, you understand? And when the mentality is good, then he starts giving a little bit of money. So now he's inspired. By proper behavior and work, I got money. Now you just increase that to the point now he can run a business. You understand? So that's the thing. Guna and karma have to go together. Just because someone says, well, I can do what they're doing, so what? Can you maintain it? Can you maintain it? You know what I'm saying? People fight over, oh, we want to address the deity, this, that. There's a whole thing. Everybody's killing each other. And then you come back after 6 months, a year, 2, 3 years, they're all gone. And the same guy was quiet there that, you know, as they jostle him about because, you know, they all think they're more important, then he's still the pujari. Come back after 20 years, he's still the pujari. Why? Because he has the brahminical mentality. The others, it's prestige. Anybody wants to come in and clean up on the altar and go away? No one knows about it. Anyone wants to just put the clothes away and all that? No one knows about it. Dress the deities, I mean, oh wow, that's nice. You understand? It's important. But the fighting is over who's dressing the deities, not who's washing the pots in the kitchen after the Raj Bhog. I don't see anybody fighting over that. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's fighting that they want to make the garlands. Who's fighting to go out there in that field there and pick the flowers? We hire karmis to pick those flowers. You understand? This is guna and karma. Devotional service is not a political platform. It's not a social platform for prestige. It's devotional service. We make it into position and like that. If you're a manager, you're on the top of the pile. According to the Vedic system, you're number 2. At best, that's on a good day. You know what I'm saying? But we make it, if you're manager, you're top of the pile. Since when is manager top of the pile? Yes, in Japanese culture, the samurais are on top of the pile and then the Brahmins are next. You know? And Europe, then they're also on the top of the pile, right? Unless you're Catholic, then okay, the Pope's on the top of the pile, but, you know, England worked on that and made the king on the top of the pile, right? You understand? So this kind of mentality doesn't have any value in Krishna consciousness, because it's Krishna's culture, Krishna's society. Does that make sense? So that's why guna is so important. Just because you have the skill of the other person doesn't mean you can actually do it in a proper way, proper mentality, and there's a good chance you can't maintain it. You understand? That's the whole thing. Right? You know, say you have the kid, he wants to learn music. He comes in and, you know, he has to be able to play something main and do something main. He can't maintain it. He goes away. But there's this guy sitting on the stage of the musicians. He just plays the drone. And he can sit there for hours and do it every day, day in, day out. That's a musician. He's not a very skilled musician, but he is a musician. And the other person is worried about the skill. He's not the musician. You understand? Because the amazing thing in the modern culture that the chair is made in such a way that basically most anybody can sit in it. So just because there's a chair in an office and you're sitting in it doesn't make you actually have a position. But we think if I'm in the chair, that's it. That's what Krishna is talking about. Yes, you have the skill to sit in the chair. Whoopee. Do you have the nature to actually organize things? No. Does that make sense? Okay. So, end here. Jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jainatai Gaurapnevanandi.